encourage our women to be a part of the women's fellowship. Whether you can meet here on Monday mornings or every third Thursday night, I encourage you to be a part of those services. I believe we're to be a help to one another and study the Word of God to the best of our ability. But I began to think a lot about these scriptures this week, and really part of it come out during our Saturday morning men's fellowship, but the Lord has continued to bring us back to some of these scriptures, and I want to look over here in the second chapter of the second epistle of Timothy. In 2 Timothy this morning. And we'll be reading from the first verse through the seventh verse. The first through the seventh verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for magistracies, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And this morning I want to take for our context really what Paul is saying to Timothy here in the seventh verse. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I want to stop there for a moment this morning. As we begin to look and examine even 1 and 2 Timothy this morning, I know as we'll get into this, and a lot of folks say, well, Timothy was a preacher, he was a minister, he pastored, and he was a pastor teacher, and I understand those things this morning. But I really want to look at what it is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at it, and I want us all to examine our life this morning and really examine where we are in our service to the Lord Jesus. And I realize this morning there has been some, and I appreciate it, I've talked to them in times past, and they'll say, well, preacher, I just want to serve the Lord. And boy, I appreciate that. I'll tell you this morning, I wish that was all of our mentality. I just want to serve the Lord in whatever multitude and whatever capacity that He'll allow me. I just want to serve Him. I want to glorify His name which is in heaven. And whatever it is that you can do in your service, my friend, this morning, that's what I might ask you to be willing to do. As we examine this here this morning, Apostle Paul, no doubt, as sitting in jail, no doubt is probably the last recorded words that we have of the Apostle Paul being written here to Timothy. We realize here as he's seated in jail, facing no doubt being persecuted, he's facing death. My friend, he's standing there before Nero, as you can read at the end of this book, and you know that he is facing death. He's found himself in prison, the Bible says. He's without personal comfort. He desires human contact. He desires warmer clothes, as we begin to read in the Scripture. And no doubt, my friend, even towards the end of his life, he has a great deal of love and compassion for young Timothy. And he, even here at the end of his life, my friend, declares that he might strengthen young Timothy, and that Timothy might, no doubt the charge had been laid to him, that he would be strengthened in the ministry and be able to go out and do what God had given him to do. And my friend, this morning, that's some things that we want to look at. Timothy, and honestly, as you begin to read some through 1 and 2 Timothy, you can see that there was quite possibly a nervousness about Timothy. There was quite possibly even a timidness about him. No doubt those things would get on him. Paul had even told him there in 1 Timothy, he said, talking about his youth, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, Timothy." And yet we know there that he was trying to strengthen him and encourage him that the Lord might help him. And so this morning I want you to understand that even in the position that you're in, or maybe this morning you don't see yourself in a position in the service of the Lord, I want you to know that there has been people that have come before you, my friend, that has had a bit of timidness. Maybe there was a fearfulness about them. Maybe there was an opportunity for them to have a little nervousness about them. But I want you to understand this morning that if you allow God, He will strengthen you this morning. He will strengthen you. As we look here this morning at the conflict of what is going on, there's a great amount of persecution that the apostles had faced. There's a great amount of persecution that Christians, even in this time, was facing. A whole lot different than where we are today. My friend, I'm telling you, it would even in some of those times been unlawful to have been a Christian. They would have lost their life. But even as the Apostle Paul found himself in prison, in chains, in bondage, he had no sad song to sing. But yet he was encouraged by the Lord because he knew in due time, as we go on to read, he knew in due time that he was going to get to see his blessed Savior, the one that he had stood and proclaimed for so long. He had no sad song to sing. And oftentimes, my friend, today and time as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll sit back and say, "Look at poor, pitiful me. Look at what's going on in my life. Look at the things that are happening to me." And my friend, none of us are sitting there in a prison cell listening to the axe that's being ground that's fixing to lift the head from our shoulders. None of us. There was a lot that was going on. But even in that time, the Apostle Paul was still strengthened. He looked over there at Timothy. He said, Timothy was raised up in a conflicted household. His father was a Greek, more than likely the best that we can find. We know that he wasn't circumcised, but we know there that his mother and his grandmother was believers. And my friend, they had encouraged them. We know that Paul spoke about over there in the first chapter. He talked about that they had an unfeigned faith. My friend, that word means that their faith was sincere and that it was real. And my friend, he talked about the faith that they had. He said, "Look back at the example that you've had in your raising." He said, "Do you not recall how that they raised you up and how they instilled in you the truths, how they taught you about Moses, how they taught you about Jacob and Abraham, how they talked to you about Daniel, how they encouraged you about what the Word of God says?" He said, "Do you not remember those things?" And yet, my friend, he begins to encourage him. I want you to understand something this morning, that even as that, he began to talk to him about those things, and he said, "Better yet still, Timothy," he said, "do you not recall what it was to experience the peace in your heart that when the Lord saved you, my friend, he picked you up and he placed you upon a solid rock? My friend, he put peace in your heart." He said, "Do you not remember and recall what it was when God spoke to you for the first time?" Listen this morning, I want you to understand where he's at. He's strengthening young Timothy. He's saying, "Timothy, there's got to be somebody that's going to take up the work and that's going to go out and continue to preach the gospel." He said, "There's got to be somebody." So yet he's encouraging him. He said, "Timothy, be encouraged. Do you not remember the things that took place?" He said, do you not remember what it was when God spoke peace to your heart? Listen, in the first verse of 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, he says, wherefore I put in thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He says, but not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. My friend, this morning, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, as we gather into the Lord's house, I'm telling you this morning that we have a responsibility to be in service to the Lord Jesus. I don't know this morning what your job is. I don't know this morning what your responsibility is. But I'm telling you, just as Paul was strengthening Timothy, he said, Timothy, there's lost people that's dying and going to hell. He said, strengthen yourself, prepare yourself, and go out and tell them about the Lord. He said, there's things that are going on out there. Listen to me, I'll get there in just a moment. He said, there's things that are going on out in the world. I understand that. He goes on to the third chapter, and he talks about perilous times coming. My friend, I believe even in those times there was perilous times that were coming. But my friend, today we're living in perilous times. But he didn't tell young Timothy to go and find him a cave somewhere and to sit down and sit back and, my friend, lose faith in God. But he said, strengthen yourself, Timothy. Strengthen yourself. Be strong. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. My friend, this morning I want you to understand just exactly what God has put in your heart this morning. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. My friend, in the Spirit of God, that He says that He'll be there with you and that He'll walk through this life with you. When it seems that all other things have failed you, my friend, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ will be there with you. Listen over here what Paul says. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God, that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. My friend, when it seems like the whole world is against you and nobody else will stand with you, my friend, Jesus Christ will stand with you and He'll strengthen you and He'll help you to do what He's called you to do. Listen to me this morning. What is it that He's called you to do? Listen to me this morning. We need people that'll stand up and serve the Lord. What is your job? I'm so thankful this week that we had the opportunity to have the officers' elections and all of those things. But my friend, this morning, I want you to know what it is to truly serve the Lord. Serve Him. Serve Him with as much capacity that God has given you. Serve Him. Be willing to do what God has called you out to do. He says, there, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. It ain't no doubt that Timothy was loved by the Apostle Paul. He called him his dear beloved son. He loved him. He didn't try to tear him down at every turn, but he loved him. He tried to lift him up. He tried to get behind him. He wanted to support him. He prayed for him. It ain't no doubt, I believe he shed many a tears for him. And I'm telling you, I believe in all of my heart that Paul poured himself into Timothy.
He didn't try to tear him down, but he tried to help him. He poured himself into him. Boy, I'm thankful this morning for the preaching brethren and for the people that's come down through my life that has tried to pour themselves into me. Maybe y'all are different than me. Maybe you've never had nobody like that in your life. Boy, I have. I've had people that's come along through me and said, boy, I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. And boy, they just wanted to pour themselves into me. They preached to me. They helped me. They studied with me. Hey, I'm here on the phone if you need me. Call me if you've got questions. Whatever it was, they wanted to help you. Boy, I'm thankful for people like you. There's too many of us now that's in too big of a hurry. We don't got the time. What is it to be in service of the Lord? Listen to what Paul says. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, and shall who be able to teach others also. He says, thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, endure. My friend, this morning I want you to know that we've got to be willing to endure. Endure to the end. Endure all the way. Don't be willing to sit back. I'm telling you this morning that we must endure all the way as a servant of Christ. There's too much that's at stake. There's too many people, listen, that's dying and going to hell. I'm telling you this morning that we are called unto His service. Some of us have been called ministers. Some of us are preachers. Some of us this morning are evangelists. Whatever your job is this morning, do it. Unfortunately, we live in a day and time. We want to do the bare minimum. We want to do just barely what gets us by. Our faith becomes weak. I believe in my heart that I'll stand and give an account for the gospel that I preached. And that troubles me. That concerns me. I believe each and every one of us this morning will give an account. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. Are you willing to do a service unto the Lord? Or would you rather lay it at someone else's charge? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning. I can tell I ain't got a whole lot of excitement. That'll be all right. But Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. My friend, I want you to understand something, that when the Lord Jesus was there upon the mountain, and we know there that he had went up into Galilee, and he had looked out at his disciples, and he had told them, he said, you tarry here in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He told them, he said, listen, you'll be witnesses unto the things that you've seen. He said, you'll go out. And we know there that on the day of Pentecost that they found themselves as they was gathered together there, the Bible says. And there were two that came in white apparel, and he said, you men of, he said, why do you stand here gazing? This morning I want you to know that we as the children of God, that there is power. Jesus said that all power is given unto me on earth as it is in heaven. There's power this morning. In the Lord's name. There's power this morning for Him to do His work. There's power this morning in being in service to God. Me and you can't do nothing on our own. But through the help of the Holy Spirit, there's power. there's power. The God that we serve is no different than the God that they had on the day of Pentecost that came in and saved those thousands of souls. My friend, He's the same today as He was then. There's power in serving Him. We can't do nothing on our own. But through Him, there's power. Power. There's people all around that try to muster up all kinds of stuff on their own, and honey, it can't be done. But I want you to know, you want to see, people talk about all the time about, boy, it was different years and years ago. We'd walk in a church house and mourners would just fall to their knees and they'd do this and they'd do that, and boy, it was different. God ain't different. God's not changed. People found their place in a service. People come to the Lord's house expecting God to move. When they entered into those doors, they said, God, I want to be used by You and for Your purpose. They come in expecting great things. They said, God, in whatever magnitude I can be used, use me this morning. If you're going to sing, I'm not a very good singer. But honey, if you're going to sing, sing about Jesus and His goodness. Sing about it. Sing about it like you mean it. Pour it out with your heart this morning. I'm not telling you that I'm the greatest singer. Some of the best times that I've ever had with Him is just me and Him riding together in the cab of a tractor up and down on the road, and it's just being me and Him in the house singing together. And I'm telling you, it's just come in and filled my heart up, and there wasn't another soul around. Me and Him. When I enter into, we've got a clock back here on the back wall, and I'm telling you, I try not to pay a bit of attention to it because it's the Lord's day. I'm not worried about getting out at 12:45. I'm not worried about going down here to the local restaurant and eating. It's the Lord's service. I want to serve Him. That's why I've came here. I want to serve Him this morning. I'm not worried about that. I want our lost to be saved. And honey, that comes from having a diligent prayer upon your heart. Entering into the house of the Lord saying, God, I want to be used by You and for Your service. Listen to me this morning. If He's called you to preach, then go tell them about Jesus. If He's laid it to you, charged to be a deacon, then honey, be a deacon. If He's laid it to you, charged to be the best lay member that you can be, then honey, you sit there and you pray for the service of the Lord to the best of your ability. You pray that God might manifest in this place and that we have a service like we've never seen. Every now and again, everybody now has got some kind of ministry. Some kind of ministry. How can we get the young people in here? I love working with young people. I love it. I love working with them. You want to know how to get them in here? You let the glory of the Lord shine out in this place. You want young people to get involved, you let the glory of the Lord shine out in this place. You let God start working in here, and He'll shine out. And I tell you what, people will start coming. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. Endure This morning, I don't mean any disrespect towards any of our veterans that have served. And boy, I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for those that was willing to answer the call, that was willing to go out. I've got family that served, and boy, I appreciate their willingness. We're so fortunate here this morning to live in a country, to have the opportunities, to have the liberty and the freedom that we have. But my friend, this morning, I want you to know the Lord has called each and every one of us to be a soldier for His cause. Well, if He would have just listened to me this morning, I'm thankful. I've read about it over there. I've read about that city four square. I've read about those walls of jasper. I've read about those gates of pearl. I've read about the streets of gold. I've read about all of those things. And boy, I tell you this morning, I get to, even though I'm not as old as some of you, I get to longing for that place. I get to thinking about it. I get to thinking about how good it's going to be. But if the only reason that the Lord saved us is so that we might go to heaven, well, honey, then He would have just saved us and plucked us right then and there and placed us over there on the other shore. But my friend, when He saves you and He sanctifies you and He cleanses you, He says, get to work. He's called you to be a soldier. What greater army can you be in? What greater service can you be called to? To be a soldier of the Lord. He said, Timothy, I know that you're going to endure hardness. He said, there's things that's going to come your way. He said, it's going to be challenges for you. Listen to me this morning, it's not easy being a child of God. Some people say, well, preacher, you're not discouraged people. Honey, I ain't trying to discourage nobody. I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. Listen to me, we was just talking about it in Sunday school this morning. There may come a time when they take Christians' lives. They may come a time you say, preacher, I've heard that all of my life. What are you prepared to do for the cause of the Lord? There may come a time when they come knocking on the doors. Listen to me, I'm not trying to scare you. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's the truth. What are you going to do when that moment comes? Listen to me, as Paul sat there, and I tell you, Nero was a maniac. He was crazy. But there had no sad song to sing. He had it in his heart to write out to Timothy. Can you imagine sitting there in that prison knowing that your time and departure was at hand? That's what he wrote Timothy. That's what he told him. He said, I charge thee, Timothy, therefore. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew what lay ahead of him, but yet he loved Timothy. He said, Timothy, be willing to endure. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Listen to me this morning. There's everything that's going on that tries to get to our attention from the work and to the service of the Lord. It doesn't matter to me what age group you're in. There's everything in the world today that tries to draw your attention or tries to dampen your faith or whatever it may be, my friend. The devil wants to get you to a point to where God can't use you, where you sit back and cower within yourself. Maybe this morning you look back and say, boy, I'm afraid to do this, or boy, that makes me nervous, or whatever the case may be. Don't be willing to sit back and to tangle yourself with the affairs of this life. That's hard to do, isn't it? But he said, yet keep your mind and your focus upon the Lord's work. He said, there's going to be things to come. There's going to be challenges for you to overcome. There's going to be things that you're going to have to face. But he said, Timothy, He said, don't entangle yourselves with the affair of this wife. He said that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to read this again over here in the 9th verse. He said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace. He has called us for his purpose and for his grace. It's to be in service to the Lord Jesus. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about him. It's all about Jesus this morning. It's all about him getting all the honor and all the glory. It's not about the preacher. It's not about any of that stuff. It's all about Jesus Christ, that we might be used for his service. I've heard people say, well, preacher, it just seems like it's been so long since we've seen people get saved. It just seems, boy, I'm tell you this. When God's people start getting hungry to see God move and for God to manifest and for him to come in and save and to do all of those things, listen to me, first and foremost, we need to come through those doors believing and knowing that God can do it. My God is big enough. And then we need to sit back and say, God, what is it that I can do for you this morning to further your cause? What is it, God? I remember when the Lord called me to preach. I had been traveling up and down the road, and the girl that I was dating at the time, she was lost. I had asked her if she would go to church with me that night, and I began to meditate and pray about those matters, and the Lord let me know then. He said, listen, you go preach my word, and I'm paraphrasing these things here as just for time's sake, but he told me, go preach my word, and I'll take care of her. And I thought, Lord, there's no way that I can preach your word. There's no way. See, in the mentality of us, we sit back and say, Lord, there's somebody better that can do that. There's somebody else, God, that can do this or that can do that. But God has chosen you and given you the abilities that you have for his purpose and for his cause. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you can do and what you can achieve through him. As I come home that night, I picked her up and we went to church. And as we was walking across the parking lot to Rocky Mountain Church, she said, I've got something to tell you. And I said, what is it? And she said, I want you to know the Lord saved me last night in my bed. The Lord had taken care of it before we'd ever got there to it. And as I began to reach and grab a hold of that doorknob to walk in Rocky Mountain Church, he said, remember what you promised me. Now you go preach. I had aspirations. There was things in my life as a young 18, 19-year-old boy I thought I wanted to go and do and achieve. But I'm telling you this morning, it's been the greatest. It has been the greatest blessing and calling of my life. God has blessed me far beyond what I can imagine. And God wants to do those same things for you. He wants to pick you up and bless you. Live a life that's willing to live it for his cause. You say, well, preacher, I'm no preacher. Be a servant. Be a servant. Don't be willing to lay it to somebody else's charge saying, they'll pick the slack up. Be willing to reach down and take a hold of the plow and don't look back. You've got lost in your family that need to be saved. Do your willingness, do your best to be a servant of the Lord. Listen to me. He said, if any man also desire for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And I'm going to be done just here shortly. When he talks about striving for masteries, he's talking about in the Greek there, he's talking about athletics. He's talking about someone who would run a race. Now, I'm not much for running, as y'all can tell. But we know the Bible teaches us to run the race with patience. He talks about running the race, finishing well. He said, except he strive lawfully. He said, Timothy, if you're going to pick up the work and you're going to run the race, he said, run it right. He said, you've got to do it right, Timothy. If you're going to do it right. Do it to the best that you can. Do it right. If the Lord has saved you and He's cleansed you and He's promised you to walk with you, then do the service to the Lord the best that you can. Do it right. We don't come into the Lord's house on Sunday morning that we might go through the motions of a service, do we? I don't. Well, I'll tell you this, if the Lord's in it, we'll stay around here all evening. We'll just have us a big old time. He said, if you're going to do it right. He said, the husbandman that laboreth must first be a partaker of the fruits. He's talking about a farmer. That word husbandman in the Greek refers to a farmer, one that would toil. He said, if he's going to labor. And when he's talking about this word labor, he's talking about toiling to the extent of exhaustion. That's laboring. We know the Lord Jesus said, listen, the fields are white and ready for harvest. He said, but the laborers are few. As we look out, we know the fields are white and ready for harvest. But he said, yet when you labor, labor to the point of exhaustion. Listen to me this morning. All of these things apply to me. I've thought about them all week long. He said, I'll give you three examples. Timothy, he said, first, be a soldier unto the Lord. He said, next, he said, you run the race and finish well. And he said, next, he said, you be like that farmer out there that toils and labors. And he said, Timothy, you labor to the point of exhaustion. And he said, you must be first a partaker of the fruit. He said, you better practice what you preach. And then he said this. He said, consider what I say. And he said, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He said, Timothy, he said, I wish that I could stay. That's what he said over in Philippians. He said, I'm betwixt between the two. Going or staying. He said, I'd love to stay with you, Timothy. But he said, it won't be too much longer before I reach home. I'm going to see the Savior over yonder. But he said, there's got to be somebody that's going to pick up the slack. There's got to be somebody that's going to labor and going to work for the cause of the Lord. There's got to be somebody that's going to be willing to do it. Oftentimes I think about that, and I think about that home in heaven. And I'm not going to lie to you. You think, preacher, that's pretty bad, I guess. But there's times I think about how much easier it'd be just to go on over there to that other city, that place over there that God has gone to prepare. But He's not done with me yet. He's not finished with me. And He's not done and finished with you either. You say, well, how do I know that? Because you're still here. I've seen people that's been in their 90s. First church I pastored had an older gentleman in it. He was a deacon. He'd sit up here in the second row. He walked with a walker. I'd ask him how he was doing. I'd say, how are you this morning? He'd say, I'm still kicking. The Lord would get in the service. His old legs are shaking. His hands shaking. Holding on to the back of that bench the best that he could. And he'd stand and say, I just want to thank God for saving me this morning. His body about to fail him. His heart about to struggle. He was just in the end of his life. He was just at the last end of the rope. He was struggling. But he was still willing to stand and to give God all the honor and the glory that he deserved. Lord, how is it that I can serve you? Be a soldier. March on. My friend, this morning, if he's called you into his service, he'll equip you. He'll suit you up with that full armor. And he'll protect you. And he'll walk with you. That's my message this morning. That's what the Lord has put on her heart. Be a servant to the Lord. Do your best to serve Him. Don't worry about what this one over here or this one over here or what that one back there or this one might think or what is it going to say on here or what's this going to do or is this person going to laugh at me if I do this or well, I'm just as country as a fried bologna sandwich. What are they going to think? Or this or that? Listen, let all of that stuff go. Don't worry about none of that stuff. And just stand up and say, Lord, thank you. Come in with a prayer and a song upon your heart. Lord, thank you. I just want to be used, Lord. Just use me. Brother Strode, would you get us a song? This morning, let's come around. Let's have a Christian handshake with one another. I love you. Let's be used for the service of the Lord. Let's ask Him, Lord, what is it that I can do for you? Lord, what is it that I can do for your cause? Go ahead.